It's a privilege to be with you. Always to share my testimony, to share the word of God is something that I really like. So thank you for that opportunity. My name is Marco Muñiz, and I'm from Peru. And I am studying at Faith Baptist Bible Seminary and hopefully finish in four semesters and go back to Peru and keep working there in the ministry. I want to share a little bit of my testimony probably 5 minutes, super, super quick or something like that. Well, I grew up as Catholic with my family. I always thought that I was going to go to heaven because I was a good kid and stuff like that. So I always thought, you know, I am looking for God, and I'm a good kid, so I would go to the church and kind of not pay attention too much of the, you know, to the priest and stuff like that, but I was going to church, you know, and stuff like that. So, what happened is that one day, my dad and I were walking my dog in the main square in Urubamba, where I am from. And I remember that Duke is my dog, well, got lost. And we were looking for Duke. Duke, where are you? We were, whistling. And Duke, we finally asked somebody, and this person said, I think your dog got into that building over there. So we went to the building, and it was New Life Baptist Church. All right? It was a Thursday evening, and I got there, and I, surely enough, it was my dog there, you know, and I remember listening to this hymn, Seek Ye First, which we were singing today. That was neat, and I just, I felt in a good place, and this missionary came to me and said, hey, I heard that you... Because I shared a little bit of my life, they asked me some things, and I said that I wanted to keep learning English and practice English. So this missionary came and said, "Are you willing to practice some English with me?" And I said, "Of course. How about we study the Bible together in English?" And I said, "Let's do it. Why not?" So it's through him, through this missionary, that I understood the gospel for the first time. I understood that I was a sinner, that I was not that good person that I thought I was. I understood that Jesus came to save me. I understood that because of my sin, I'm going to condemnation. That's one of the things that really caught my attention. Wow, I'm going to this condemnation, so I need a savior. And it's through this missionary who explained to me the gospel that I received Christ. I can say that my dog led me to the church, not to Christ, of course. The missionary, through the word, led me to Christ, and I received Christ as my Savior when I was around 17 years old. And, yeah, after that, I went to Mexico to study there 4 years, and one of the things that I had the privilege to give my the speech when we end the career. At the end of my career, I gave the speech. They asked me to do it, so I did it. And I was very excited to do this really well, and I wanted to show Christ in my speech, you know, finishing my career and everything. So I remember giving that speech, and when I finished, some people were coming to me and said, "Marco, I don't think you gave a speech. I think you preached the word of God. You should try to learn some homiletics and some expository preaching and stuff like that." And through other missionaries in Mexico, I decided to serve the Lord. And it's when I went back to Peru and I worked with Pat Campbell, translating for him in his classes. And I just enjoyed classes with him. I actually missed his classes, and I missed translating for him. And yeah, the Lord moved me in different ways. I got married. I'm already married 3 years with my wife. And well, it's just many things that God has been working in my heart, especially for my country. I want to go back to Peru and serve there. So that's kind of my testimony in 5 minutes.
Why don't you tell us what you want to do specifically?
Yeah, thank you. Sorry. We would like to go back to the Bible school in Urubamba, Cusco, Peru. What I've been translating first, and then I taught for some years there. And right now they need more professors. They need, you know, and what I'm doing at Faith Baptist Bible Seminary is learning more theology and have a good foundational doctrine, you know, good doctrine. And my plan is to go back and keep teaching there. We want to help local churches there. If God is leading me into pastoral work, I am willing to do that too. We're trying to see that. There is the possibility to plant a church as well. So we're praying how God is leading us in what direction, and we're willing to serve the Lord.
Thank
yeah.
You.
Thank
you. Hello, my name is Brianna. I'm the wife. my parents, some of you might know them, are Tim and Barb Watley. And they were missionaries from Valley View. Many years ago, Valley View supported them. And so I've actually been at this church before, just with a different congregation, and I was much, much younger. Well, being the daughter of missionaries, I grew up hearing the gospel my whole life, even when I wasn't even paying attention or conscious as a baby. I heard the gospel, and I was a docile child. And so I made a profession of faith when I was 4. But I don't think I understood the full gospel. It's hard to know when children are young, at what point do they understand enough to actually be saved. And so I responded to what I understood, but the part that I was missing was that I had to humble myself because I couldn't do anything to save myself. And so I was about 7 when I understood that part, and I remember fighting with God because everybody thought I was a good kid, and so I didn't want to recognize that I couldn't get to heaven on my own, and one night I finally lost the battle with God, which is a good thing. we just torture ourselves if we hold out against His will in our lives. And so I humbled myself, and I recognized that I was a sinner and that there was nothing I could do to save myself from sin, and it didn't matter what everybody else thought about me, but it was just between me and God, and I asked Jesus into my heart. And so I would really encourage parents of young children to do what my mom did when I was 4 and I made that first profession of faith. She didn't tell me, "You're saved," because later on, a lot of children trust the experience, and they're not necessarily conscious of what they did. So she prayed with me, and she said, I'm so glad that you are responding to God's work in your life, and I'm excited to see what He's going to do in the future. And so I felt that I could be very open with questions in my life instead of feeling like, well, I already got saved, so what's wrong with me for having these questions? And it was that way throughout my teenage years. I had different questions on, like, is God even real? And what about evolution? And we have our area of Peru is very beautiful, and there's a lot of tourist attractions and a lot of mysticism involved with nature and a lot of hippies. And so I was like, what about, like, all of this witchcraft? What does all of this mean? And so I was able to ask my parents and other people, and they provided me resources that helped me with all of my doubts. And so I'm very grateful to have been in a situation where I could express those questions. And they weren't squashed, and I wasn't judged like harshly for them, but I was guided through them. And so if you have questions, I think that there are people in this church that want to work with you on them. And you know, even David had questions for God, and Job did too. And so I think that those draw us closer to Him. And yeah, that's kind of my salvation testimony and a little bit of my spiritual growth. I always wanted to go back to Peru as a missionary, and so when I finished high school, I went to college in South Carolina. I went to Bob Jones and I studied education. And then I went back to Peru and I was teaching English there at a little Christian school that was on the same property as the Bible school where Marco was. And so our families had gotten to know each other. They're in the same area, that same town. And they moved things for us to be able to meet. And I'm glad that he was already serving in ministry, which was a desire that I had, and now we can do it together as a team. And so we're excited for God having us here for now, and we look forward to him taking us back to Peru in the future, if that's his will. We know that he's the one who gets to decide, but until he shows us something else, that's what we're working toward, to going back to that Bible school. Thank you.
Should I go? All right, we're going to study the scripture. I have kind of like, what, 20 minutes-ish? Okay, let's do this. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 25. I'm going to go really fast. Don't worry. You will say, okay, 20 verses. That's going to be a lot. Well, I'll try to do it quick. The title of this message is God is up to something. God is up to something. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 25. Have you ever felt like someone is up to something? Like you know enough details, and you say, "Hey, someone is up to something here." You know, I remember that when we were in Peru. Actually, did you know that my brother, my younger brother, and Brianna's younger brother connected us, and they had this plan so we can, you know, get to know each other, and eventually, so the conversation kind of goes like this: they, Gilbert and Caleb. Best friends, they said at some point, hey, we are good friends. In fact, we are best friends, you know? But we can become brothers, or we can actually become family. How about if we do this, you know? Connect our, you know, my sister, your brother, and stuff like that. And I remember Gilbert coming to me and say, hey, Marco, we're going to visit the Watley family, and I want your best version there, okay? So I'm like, hey, something is going on here. Then my mother-in-law, Barb Wadley, called me at some point because our families were very connected, and she called me and said, hey, Marco, so I'm going to the Chifa, which is a Chinese-Peruvian restaurant in Peru, and I'm going to meet your mom, and it's going to be a nice time. Would you like to come with us? And I'm like, sure. I mean, what is going on here? I don't fit, you know. You are good friends, but what am I going to do there, you know? And I went, and who was there in that restaurant? Beautiful Brianna was there, and we ended up talking and talking. And you know what? It worked because we are married, okay? We are 3 years married, and that was a blessing. But I always thought, you know, someone is up to something here, you know? Someone is doing something here. Would you believe me if I told you that right now God is up to something? God is up to something in your church. God is up to something in your family. God is up to something in your life. Maybe you don't know it. Maybe you don't see it. But let me tell you something for sure. This is true. God is working, and God is up to something. In Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 25, we see that God is up to something special in the life of Zechariah, the priest, and Elizabeth, his wife. We will see that God not only is planning something for them, but also for the whole country of Israel, for Israel, for Israel. So, brothers and sisters, the same God that was up to something 2,000 years ago, is up to something special now. And he is working in your life, in my life, and we can know for sure he is up to something. So we're going to see in the next slide, and that's my main idea in the next slide, and it's going to be, God is up to something in your life. Therefore, trust in God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word. thank you, because we need your word to be fed. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this church. I would like to pray, Lord, that as we open your word, you open our hearts, you help us understand this message, and thank you. Thank you again. Help me to have clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Help me, Lord, to explain your word as the best as I can, the best that I can. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So God is up to something in your life. But what is God up to? That's the question. What is God doing? I would say that in this passage, we have three activities that God is doing. Three activities that God is doing. And number one, God is up to answering your prayers. In the next slide, we will see that God is up to answering your prayers. Look at me, with me, verses 5 to 17. It says in verse 5, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, it's interesting how Luke starts, right? He doesn't start like, once upon a time. No, he starts saying, in the days of Herod, right? Now, when a Jew listens to that phrase, in the days of Herod, you know, he would be like, oh, that's not a good day, you know? Those were not good days. Kind of like if I would tell you, in the days of COVID. You remember that? I was like, oh, man, I don't like that, right? That's something like you don't like remembering those days? Well, something like that for a Jew in the days of Herod. But even during bad times, God is working. Because look at verse 5, we see some hope there. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. Now, they are from the priestly family, and they are a couple. They're a couple that are a wonderful couple. They are servants of the Lord. We will see that Luke tells them as blameless, as righteous, because it was kind of hard to find good believers serving the Lord in that time. But this couple, you know, they were amazing. They were, as Mexicans say, another level, you know, en otro rollo, another level. They were good believers. So verse 7 says, and when you see this couple, you would say, you know, they have everything. You know, they have good faith. They trust the Lord. But something they didn't have. And in verse 7, it says there, but they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. You know, they were an elderly couple who had no evil in them, but at the same time, they had no children. And for that time, that might have been hard for them. Because in the Jewish mind, they would have said, if you don't have a child, it's because you are sinning. Since you don't have a child, it's because God is punishing you. So they were kind of like against the culture, and people would talk in this way about them. But we know that they were good believers that would serve the Lord. And this reminds me of something. Sometimes we suffer because of our sins, but sometimes we suffer because we live in a broken world. You know, we live in a distorted world. Our bodies are even distorted. We suffer because there is sickness in this world, and there are a lot of things that are going on in this life, because this life is, in this world, is broken. And this passage teaches us that you can be very devoted to the Lord, but at the same time, you can suffer in this world. In verses 8 and 9 says, now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So they had no children, but they serve God's children faithfully. They would go to Jerusalem every year to serve the Lord. And they were not like bitter or upset. No, they would trust it. They would trust God and they would serve God every year. So now Luke is changing our location and he's telling us that we are in the temple. Where are we located? We are in the holy place. Not in the holy of holy, but we are in the holy place where the priest would work with the incense and things like that. So we are in the holy place, okay? And it says there that he was chosen by lot to enter the temple and burn incense. Now, this is interesting. This is interesting because how strange. Why Zechariah? He was selected. Why Zechariah was selected to be that day, that priest that would go into the temple and burn the incense. You know, some people would say coincidence. And I would argue providence. God is working in Zechariah's life because God is up to something. And he's going to work in this way because God chose him to do something, not only for him, but also for all Israel. In verse 10, we see that, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of the incense. By the way, let me tell you something. Whatever you see the people of God praying, you will see God working. Okay? People of God praying, God is working. And we see this. The crowd are outside praying, and God is at work. Now, the question is, what is the crowd praying for? What are they praying for? And I would say that it is important to know that we are in the time of King Herod. So the answer is easy. What are they praying for? They are praying for freedom. They are praying for liberation. They are praying for the Messiah to come because this was an unholy king for them, and they were praying. They were under the Romans, so they were praying for the Messiah to come. And in verse 11 is when things get interested, okay? Verse 11, look with me in verse 11. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Who is this angel? Gabriel. Gabriel. Gabriel is this angel. And the question is, was God listening to the prayers of his people or not? Yes. God was listening to their prayers. God was listening to them. God was on the move listening to their prayers. Verse 12, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. You know, when we see the holiness of a spiritual reality, the natural reaction of a man is to fear. You know, and we see here that the Zechariah is frightened. He's fearing. And in verse 13, we see, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. So God was going to give this couple a son. This is amazing. What is the name of the son? John. Who's this John? John the Baptist, right? This is John the Baptist. And he says in verse 13, for your prayer has been heard. You know, do you think that Zechariah prayed at some point for a son? God, give me a son. God, give me a son. Would you say that he prayed like that? I would say so. He prayed like that. But the text implies that he prayed like that years ago, but nothing happened. You know? And he kind of like, that prayer kind of like stayed behind. And he was now praying for something else. Looks like that he's praying for deliverance. But what we see here is that God answers two prayers at the same time. Okay? We see that God is answering for a savior, but at the same time, he is answering for a son, for Zechariah. And by the way, unlike many men, God can do two things at the same time. Okay? He's answering here two prayers at the same time. But the angel continues in verse 14, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Verse 15 and 16, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. So Zechariah, the son of Zechariah, was going to do something great. God was sending a baby to his family, but at the same time, God was sending a prophet for his nation. And in verse 17, and he will go before him in the spirit of power of Elijah, and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. So we see that God answered Zechariah's request. Now, maybe God did not answer like in the mind for the Zechariah. It's not like the time was not the exact time for Zechariah, right? But God had a plan. God had a plan. And you know what? We see here that sometimes God answers with a yes. Sometimes God answers with a no. Sometimes God answers with a wait. But listen, God always answers. God always answers. So let me tell you, brother and sister, today, God is planning to answer your prayers too. Maybe not in your time frame, maybe not how you think it is going to be, but let me tell you something, God is going to answer. Some might say, you know, Brother Marco, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and it looks like God forgot about me. Well, let me tell you something, and I'm pretty sure about this. I can assure you that God always hears our prayers, and God is planning to answer you too. So that is what God is up to right now, answering your prayers. But we'll see number two in the next slide. We will see that not only God is planning to answer your prayers, but also exposing your doubts. Verse 18, and Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. I actually like how Zechariah is tactful here toward his wife, right? He says, I am old and my wife is advanced in years. You know, it's like very tactful here. And you see that we can learn something from Zechariah here. Zechariah says to the angel, I think you got it wrong, angel. I don't think you got it wrong. Somebody else. I'm too old. But the angel answers in verse 19, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And it's interesting how Luke here is presenting us a lot of first-person pronouns in singular. So it's like Zechariah saying, I am old. I don't think you're right. I. And the angel is saying, well, I am Gabriel. And I am sent by God, and I am telling you that you have a son. You will have a son. And it's like Zechariah doesn't believe it. And he says, give me a sign. You know, give me a sign. How can I be sure about that? Okay, you will have a sign. You will be muted. Okay, you will be mute. Verse 20, and behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. The angel basically tells him, it is better to be mute than to speak words of unbelief. And we see here that God is exposing Zechariah's doubts. And we see the faithfulness of God, because Zechariah is not going to be mute his whole life. He's going to be mute until the baby is born. So we see the faithfulness of God even here. So what is happening? Zechariah is not coming out. You remember the crowd was praying, and the tradition was that the priest would go out after, you know, burning this. After doing this, he would go out and talk to the people, but he's not coming. And I can imagine the crowd kind of thinking, wait, something happened here, you know? He is an old man. Maybe he fell or he had a heart attack. What is going on, right? And Zechariah is laughing. And the crowd is worried. So the crowd is waiting for verse 21. And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. Verse 22. And when he came out, and I kind of feel like, you know, the crowd is like, oh, yeah. Okay, he's good. But there is a problem. He cannot speak, right? He cannot speak. And he was unable to speak to them. And they realized he had seen a vision in the temple. Now, my question is, how did he communicate that? How did he communicate that? Like, you know, how did he do that, right? And I would argue that this is the first time in the Bible that people is playing charades here, okay? Because Zechariah, you know, is communicating without talking, and they figure he saw something. he saw something. So they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. In verse 23, and when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. You know what we see here, brothers and sisters? We see that sometimes we doubt God. But God is exposing Zechariah's doubts. And what I would say is that God sometimes exposes our doubts as well. Because we doubt God sometimes too, right? We doubt God. We pray and he's not answering. We're struggling, and then we think that he's not listening, and we doubt. But Zechariah and Luke here in the Bible is teaching us that we should trust the Lord. We should trust the Lord. His plans are good. Trust in the Lord. He is working. Believe in him. He is working. So first activity God is doing, number one, is answering your prayers. Number two is exposing your doubts. And number three, removing your misfortunes. And we'll see that in the last two verses. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying. Now, if we read verse 24 so quickly, we can miss some things. So let's think for a moment. This baby was not conceived in a miraculous way, right? So what I'm trying to say is that Zechariah believed the angel. He said, okay, I understand that, I believe, and he went home and believed him, you know? And in the old-fashioned way, he obeyed, slept with his wife, and you know what happened? She conceived. And this time when we say, wow, she conceived. She has she's pregnant, and it says that she stayed home for 5 months. Now, we don't know why she stayed that long, but we could probably think that dizziness, you know, it is one thing to be young and pregnant, and another thing is to be old and pregnant, you know. So I'm sure she had discomforts. She got a lot of things going on, but I'm pretty sure that she was happy at the same time, you know. She's trusting the Lord, and she's not understanding a lot of things, but she is pregnant. And finally, verse 25, Elizabeth says something. Verse 25, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Can you imagine Elizabeth in these verses? for 5 months in her house without going out, taking great care of her, often at home alone, taking care of the belly, rubbing her belly, talking to little John, right? And well, she doesn't know that it's John, the name, yet, right? But she knows she has a baby. And she says, thus the Lord has done for me. So what do we see here in this passage? God is answering Zechariah's and Elizabeth's prayer. God is exposing Zechariah and Elizabeth's doubt. But God is also removing Zechariah's and Elizabeth's misfortunes. You know, when people heard that she was pregnant, they were like, oh, so she was not sinning in that way, right? She was not, or God was not punishing her in that way. So her reputation in the society and a lot of things, she was restored in some ways in the society. And Zechariah could not explain many things, but God was working in her life. God was working in his life. And she says, thus the Lord has done for me. You know, surely some of us come to church, and sometimes we come to church with our head bowed, you know. We come to church with a lot of difficulties. You come to church with a lot of problems. We come to church with shame for some mistakes that we make, and we make mistakes, and a lot of things are going on in our lives. But let me tell you something. God is listening to your prayer. God is exposing your doubts. But at the same time, God is removing our misfortunes. When we trust the Lord, when we understand the Lord, we trust him, and we understand that where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. So God may not decide to take away all of our problems. God may not take all of our illnesses or misfortunes today. But we have great news, because one day God will take away all of our problems and all of our misfortunes, all of the shame once for all. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus, our Savior? Could you trust the Lord? And if you are not saved, could you trust the Lord even today, repenting of your sins and trusting in God? You know, let me tell you something. God is up to something. And God is up to something even today in your life. He will be answering your prayers. Don't doubt it. He will be exposing your doubts. And God also will remove our misfortunes. So trust in God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this time. We rejoice in your word. We want to keep growing, keep understanding your word. Thank you for this time. We pray that we would learn your word, apply it to our lives, live our Christian lives trusting you, because you always listen to our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.